Singing hallelujah. And we come together and worship to sing praise, but also reflect and hear God's word. And so we're in Luke chapter 10. And just hear these words. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. She went up to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me.' But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her.'" Amen. Okay. So this morning we're continuing our sermon series called Learning to Let Go. And the subtitle is, of course, "And Bear Your Cross." And the reason why that is because a lot of things in life that we have to learn to let go of really do call us into a position where we have to die to ourselves. We have to take up the cross, the challenge at times of letting go of things that we think are valuable or important, and move into a different space in the presence of Christ. And so this morning there's a story, I think it's a fairly familiar story, but Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. It's a festival season, and on his way, it's pretty normal culturally that you open up your home to sojourners, to people that are traveling, and you provide good hospitality for them. You care for them by giving them something to eat and something to drink, and maybe provide a space for them to rest or sleep for the night. And so Jesus is in Bethany, and he's at the house of Mary and Martha, and he's going to rest before he continues his travels towards Jerusalem. And in this story, you meet two characters primarily, and one is Martha. And it says in the text that Martha is, you know, busy, hurriedly about doing things, and she's trying to serve Jesus well. He's there. She wants to take care of him. She wants to feed him. And so she's sort of bustling about, making sure her home is in good order to see to his needs. And while she's running about doing all these things, you have Mary over there. And Mary is, I don't know, doing nothing maybe. She's at the feet of Jesus. She's listening attentively to him and is just present with him in the moment. It's sort of interesting, like, when you read this text, I can't help, I have three kids, and so I can't help but hear my children's voices in this text. It says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. I'm doing the work, he's not." You sort of get this tension between two sisters in the presence of Christ, and it can kind of lead to this sort of bitterness and resentment, perhaps, that here is Martha rushing around doing all the things that are supposed to be done, and Mary is just kind of hanging back and chilling. I remember when I was looking at the sermon series for the text this Sunday, I told Anthony earlier this week, I said, "Man, I don't want to preach on this text." Mainly because to me it's simplistic. Like, here's the deal. Here's the punchline. This could be a 3-minute sermon, okay? Martha is overly busy and not paying attention to Christ. Mary is paying attention to Christ, and that is the better way. So stop being so busy and pay attention to Jesus. Amen. Oh, but he told me I should preach longer than that, so it's his fault. I'm going to continue. But that kind of seemed like the point to me. I'm like, well, what else is there to say? I mean, that's the text, right? But why didn't Mary hustle? Why was she so busy? What was it that was concerning her? And again, I have empathy for her because I get it. Like, there is a reason my wife and I don't invite people over to our house, because we don't have the Martha hustle. Our house is always a mess because we have three kids. And so we choose not to host the sojourners in our home. Okay? But I get it. She wants to be a good hostess. She wants to serve them well. And so she does. And I get that. When we do have people over, I mean, we're not sitting back and just looking at the dishes in the sink. We're like cleaning the house. We're getting ready for the people to come over. When they're over, we're serving them. We're attending to their needs. We're engaging in all the things. And so I get it. I understand. But why do we hustle? Like, what's the lesson here? Like, why are we so busy tending to all the things, right? There's so many things. Like in the Greek, it actually says, it's more like a translation being pulled in multiple directions is kind of the nuance. She's pulled in so many different ways, she can't pay attention to everything. And I feel that's the same way for us. Like, we're all busy, or I feel like many of us are really busy. We fall off on one side of the spectrum or the other. Like, we're constantly trying to get stuff done. We have so many things happening. We're being pulled in multiple directions that there's more for you to do than can ever be done. You are a finite person with infinite possibilities and never-ending dishes and laundry. And what I mean by that is, like, it doesn't matter how busy I am today, guess what's there tomorrow? Surprise, more dishes and more laundry. It's never ending. And so we do, we get busy, and it's like the hamster wheel, right? And we just go and we go and we go, and there's something in us that maybe we feel like we're not successful unless we're doing all the things. Or maybe we feel like we're not meeting up to our potential unless we're checking off all the boxes. But once you check off all the boxes, there's more waiting. It just keeps coming. And so why do we hustle? Well, I think sometimes we hustle because we find our self-worth, our value in the hustle, maybe instead of at the feet of Jesus. Like, we've got to keep going. And sometimes I think we hustle because actually there's an anxiety and there's a fear to being quiet enough to hear your own thoughts and experience your own feelings. You can avoid a whole lot more if you stay busy. And so we use it to distract ourselves, to feel like we're moving in a positive direction, but we don't want to stop, because what if we realize we're not in a very good place, or not moving in a positive direction? And sometimes, and I think it's more rare, maybe you fall off on the other end of the spectrum. I do know of people that are so aware of sort of the infinite and their finiteness that they get overwhelmed. And they do nothing. They like literally shut down. They withdraw. And so is it a warning? Is it a warning for us to not be like Martha and maybe throttle down? Should we not be busy? Well, looking at this text, I was reading it, it just sort of struck me that it's not like Mary isn't doing anything. She's not the one that's so overwhelmed that she's throttling down. She's not doing nothing. She's actually sitting at the, she's listening to Jesus. She's attending and attuning to what he's saying and what he's doing, while Martha's running around serving crumpets and tea, right? And so really what this text is, it's not a warning. It's really an illustration that we need to be busy in the right way. It's not about like not doing anything. It's about doing the right thing, the better way. And so in psychology, we have a term for this a little bit. We call it boundaries. And what I mean by that is, like, it's knowing when to say no. Do any of you have trouble saying no sometimes? And so what happens is, stuff comes at us, and instead of saying, no, I can't, I don't have time for that, I need to focus on this more, we end up saying yes to a lot of things and do none of it well. Or we don't really say no because somehow We've learned some people have felt that saying no means you're against them or they're against you. And so we don't say no. We just, I call it the pocket veto. We just don't answer. And I'm not going to RSVP. I'll see if what's happening and then decide, right? The pocket veto is just where you choose something. You still are saying yes to something, but you never really say no. But the reality is every time we say yes to something, we are saying no to something else. Mary said yes to Jesus. Martha said yes to prepping the meal. And both of them said no to the other. And so we have to pay attention to what we're saying yes to so that we're busy in the right way. Maybe we need to be more intentional about saying no so that we can be busy in the right way. I was kind of reflecting on this, with staff, like we have to set goals every year. And sometimes the mistake that everyone makes with goals, myself included, is that we think that the purpose of the goal, all the goals, is to communicate to everyone how busy we are, how many things that we're going to do. But really the goal is more about the journey, the experience moving towards something than sometimes even completing it. It's about what you learn on the way to that goal. It's not about the hustle of having more goals than somebody else. I was reflecting on confirmation. Our confirmation students are being interviewed, and we have confirmation service here in a few weeks. And this is something that's not unique to Bethany. It's a thing everywhere. But as a pastor in a church, and I'm not trying to call anyone out. Shots aren't fired or anything. Or maybe they are. Maybe you're guilty. I don't know. But one of the things that just sort of struck me is how there are a handful of people that choose to never be here until confirmation. And then they do confirmation and then choose never to be here again. And I don't know what that means. To confirm your faith, to make a public testimony that I believe this, then never worship again. I don't know what that means. I don't know why you would get in confirmation if you've never been in church or haven't been part of that worship experience and that worship life. I mean, I assume people are busy. They're probably doing other things. But that's how it is, right? We're making choices. We say yes to one thing, we're saying no to something else. And we can't pretend that we're not doing it. Sometimes I'll talk to someone who's been retired, and this is how I know busyness is kind of an idol. I'll talk to someone who's retired, and I'll say, how are things going? And they say they're busier now than they ever have been. Why? You can say no. But maybe they're finally saying yes to everything they said no to because they made poor choices, you know? We have to be busy in the right ways. It wasn't lost to me this week as I was reading the text and pondering my 3-minute sermon. Just by way of illustration. Do you know where Pastor Anthony was at the beginning of this week? How dare he? He left me alone in the office to do everything while he was at a prayer retreat. Now hang with me. What that means is he went away by himself, no wife or kids or anything, and what, prayed? Like all day? What is that? I really don't resent him. I really don't. But what it made me think of, I was like, it's just, he was busy, but he was busy in a different way. But it's so easy for us just to write some of that stuff off and say, well, that's not the real work. And so what this text calls us into is it calls us to be busy in a way that should flow from the feet of Christ. Mary was busy. But her busyness was coming from the place and presence of Christ. And Christ himself modeled this for us. Like, he had three good active years of ministry that we have recorded in Scripture that really paint the picture of what he did. And did Jesus say yes to everything? I mean, as the crowds are pushing in on him, people are clamoring for him to touch, to let them touch him, for him to heal them, for him to do something miraculous for them. And did he heal everybody? Did he let everyone touch him? Did he reach out and do all the miracles for everyone that was gathering around him in the crowds as he was teaching? No, he didn't. And when he was done, what did he do? Did he go and do more? No, it says many times in Scripture he would go off to be alone for a while on some prayer retreat while all his disciples were working. Right? No, he was not always saying yes to the people that wanted him. Jesus modeled it by saying yes to the cross. It wasn't selfish. It wasn't that he wasn't wanting to serve people. It wasn't that he didn't want to heal people. It's just he knew that there was infinitely more that needed to be done than he could do in that moment. He had to get to Jerusalem. He had to get to the cross. So when we gather together as a people of God, we're here in a very real way. You being here is you being at the feet of Jesus because he's present among us. You are choosing to take about an hour, if I'm preaching, an hour and 10, if Anthony is, right? I'm kidding. To be present before Christ. To hear what he might be trying to tell you. To connect with him in prayer. To lift one another up in prayer. To taste and see the goodness of Christ through Holy Communion. And everything we do should flow from that position, from the feet of Christ. And we can be busy. We can. He's not telling us not to be. But we want to be faithfully busy. We want to be righteous in our busyness. We want to hear the call of Christ to slow down or speed up or to lean in or to lean back and be bold to say no when we need to say no and say yes, here I am, send me, when it's time to say yes, here I am. Christ said yes to you. And through his love and through his grace, you're brought into his presence and you're made whole. And so we go from here rejoicing and righteously busy. In his name, amen.